You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, side B.
All right, let's move on to the... Oh, I can't believe we're going to do this definitive 15. All right, let me take a note here. We're over an hour and a half in. Oh my God. Okay. So a definitive 15 for Nas. This is hard, man. Because for me, there's stuff that was just no question.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's the kind of artist where it's like getting to 7 or 8 is like off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, mm-hmm. it gets complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I have 14 right now because my list of honorable mentions is lengthy.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. We'll see if I can come up with a 15th on the fly. But I'm very curious to hear how you approach this. Like, was it hard for you to put this together?
Nah.
Mm. You felt pretty confident?
Yeah, I with all due respect.
go ahead.
With all due respect, when I'm not playing one mic or I can.
They're not on mic.
For people.
Definitive 15. No.
Yeah, they're not.
Let's just
get
that out of the way right now.
They are definitive records for Nas. They are.
There is one song
successful.
I really struggled with. Because it's definitive. But I refuse to put it on my list. I'll see if it's on yours.
I just went fan.
Okay.
I just went fan. Like, these are my favorite Nas records that I would play for people.
I approach this as I wanted to capture different eras of Nas.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I pick like, okay, this is a good slice of like that era. But unfortunately, mm-hmm. that means for me, it was really heavily weighted towards the first like 5 years of his career.
Absolutely.
And then I was trying to pick stuff from like the later parts. And I was like, I don't know. Would I put that as a 15? There's definitely stuff there like that sneaks into honorable mentions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So, I mean, we can get started if you're ready.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm going to let you get started. What's your first one?
I actually just added something on the fly.
Oh.
I added two records on the fly, but this one, I want to open my set with I Can Love You.
Okay, what are you doing?
Stillmatic Freestyle.
Okay. My list, one of my options is this or another song. But we should just talk about them together right now. I should say another freestyle, because to me, these two represented a certain era for Nas, which is the battle with Jay.
It's the comeback era. It's comeback Nas. It's underdog Nas.
I don't know if Stillmatic Freestyle has aged as well as I'd hoped it would.
Remember when it was called H to the Omo?
Well, let's just be really upfront with it. Like, when Nas had his beef with Jay, you go back and you listen to it, and a whole lot of it basically boiled down to him accusing Jay of possibly being gay.
And judging how he looks.
Right.
And yeah, yeah.
Not stuff that would not fly
so bad.
Def Jam included the Stillmatic Freestyle as a B-side on the Ether single.
Wow.
So why Stillmatic Freestyle?
We're going to talk about it when we delve into our review strictly for Patreon subscribers. But Nas was fighting from under, if I'm to use a UFC term.
Okay.
Nas was definitely becoming a ghost around the time Nostradamus came out. I mean, his fall was very quick. So you go from I Am, which is, I remember, 4.5 mics in the source.
Super successful.
You know, yeah, super successful. Spitting champagne, lions, all that stuff. And lions in the club, whatever they was doing. And to go from that to like the fall after Nostradamus, it was really, really quick. So by the time 2001 comes, Nas goes from being one of the elite New York MCs to not really being considered at all. And so Bleak dissing him on was it What You Think of That really shot Nas some bail.
What Would You Think of That, and then My Mind Right.
Okay, that's what I was thinking of. Your lifestyle's written, so who you supposed to be, play your position. Like, it says a lot that we know a lot about the Jay and Nas beef, but it says a lot about how people thought of Nas for Jay to send Bleak at him first. So either Jay says, you're not worth my time, I'm going to send Bebop and Rocksteady at you if he's Shredder. Or Bleak is just like, this is the level that we put you at, is up there with the Memphis Bleak, who's solid, who I think is actually underrated. But it's not an upper tier MC. It's not a Jadakiss, like somebody who's up there during that time.
Sort of. Although remember, Jay was preoccupying himself with Major Figgis, which doesn't make any sense to somebody listening to this right. 20 years later. So like, Jay was also, I don't know how much strategy there was with it.
I think it's the little boy strategy. So you get Jay disses Mino, Jay disses J.O. Felony. He gets people that he can slap around.
Yeah.
But then the other strategy is, for the major artists, the strategy is like reverse. So I'm going to slap you around, but then I'm going to get one of my underlings to slap you around. It's passive aggression, control manipulation 101. But
it's also the idea that like, if it's Memphis Bleak taking shots at Nas, if he gets one, that's kind of big for a Memphis Bleak.
Absolutely.
Whereas like when it's Jay and Nas, there's a high chance of failure on either side. Clearly.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Here's what's amazing about this song. Like we talked about the H2OMO stuff in a second, but like Jay took so much heat for the left condoms on your baby seat line.
Mm-hmm.
But like everybody was cool with like him making fun of him for being a rapping version of Cisco. We all know what he's trying to say there. He referred to Jay and his people as hip hop queers.
Mm-hmm.
But the condoms on the baby seat line, that was too far.
Mm-hmm.
All that to say, it was a different time.
It's a different time.
So I also wanted to pick something from this era.
Mm-hmm.
And I refuse to put Ether on this list because it's a terrible song.
It's a terrible song.
So I went for the Eye for an Eye freestyle.
Mm. Okay.
Which, not as, I get it. Stillmatic freestyle is probably arguably more, I don't think arguably, like it is definitely, it is more definitive, right? Mm-hmm, I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. But I prefer the Eye for an Eye freestyle.
Mm, okay.
Like the way he ends that is still, I mean, I don't know. That whole verse is just ridiculous. This is 2000, Nas completely in his prime. And just like that, the way he closes it is such a little line at Jay, a little toss away. Like he's really, you know, for a while he's, you know, he's through this verse, he's making references. But then, you know, to end it, you know, Stillmatic, still Eye for an Eye, want to be God, right? Which everybody knows is talking about Jay because Jay was referring to himself as J-Hove, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's you're just the next rapper to die effing with Nas. Like the way he closes that on that beat is crazy. Love this song. Love it.
Yeah. It's a good record.
Okay. What do you got next?
Okay. All right, let's go. Let's just start off really easy.
Just get the classics out of the way.
Yeah, let's just get the classics out of the way.
Let's go.
I put New York State of Mind on my list.
I did too.
I did not put part two. I put part one because I feel like part one is more definitive, though I prefer the beat on part two.
I mean, both of them are amazing. They're both amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I agree 100% with everything you just said. I think part two might be better, mm-hmm. maybe, but it's a more mature Nas. It's a different
mm-hmm.
Nas.
Mm-hmm.
But part one is definitive.
Part one is definitive, yes.
If you're telling the story of Nas, you're playing New York State of Mind.
Absolutely. To start.
Right.
Okay. You go ahead.
Should we just keep going down the Illmatic list?
Yeah, let's just knock those out.
I mean, because The World Is Yours has to be on there.
I actually have the Q-Tip remix.
No. Yes. The Q-Tip remix is fine.
No.
The original is ridiculous.
It is.
That beat?
It is. The xylophones are great. They're amazing. They're taking nothing away from the original. I just think the remix is unbelievable.
Do you have World Is Yours on yours?
Yeah, I have the remix.
you have the remix over the original.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Just to switch it up. Yep.
Okay. All right, what do you got next?
One Love.
Honorable mention.
Wow.
What do you want me to do? Pick six songs from O-Matic?
Yes. Yes, actually, I do. That's elite Nas storytelling.
It is. Can I come in with a hot take?
Sure.
It's not my favorite beat. It's fine. It's good. It's good. It's just not. It's like it's not my favorite beat. It's not in the upper echelon of beats in Illmatic.
Oh man. Okay. All right.
We're splitting hairs here. Okay.
We are. Okay. What you got?
It ain't hard to tell.
Honorable mention.
Oh boy.
I know. Ooh. That was hard to put there. Ooh. It was.
So like for me, the three from Illmatic are New York State of Mind, World Is Yours, and Ain't It Hard to Tell. Like if I'm telling the story of Illmatic, I can go right there.
Sure.
I wanted
to get a storytelling in there even though New York State of Mind is storytelling as well. But
I get that. Yeah. I know you have you love those 93, 94, 95 Q-tip beats.
Oh my God. Greatest snares ever. Right. For a hip hop producer. Absolutely. He's in a zone. I mean, God, what he did, if you listen to the Mobb Deep demos for The Infamous and then you listen to the final project, oh, Q-Tip just works all types of magic.
Right.
It's amazing.
It Ain't Hard to Tell is, Nas is so ridiculous on that.
Can I tell you that's my introduction into Michael Jackson?
Mm, really?
Like, of course, I knew. Yeah, like, of course, yeah, the singles, Bad and Thriller and all that stuff, right? But I had never heard Human Nature.
Oh, I had neither.
Yeah, so hearing that sample, but I knew it was Michael, but I didn't know it was Michael. Mm. So that, because we had we had Illmatic on bootleg, shout out to Jay. Hearing that made me go back and like ask my dad, like, what is this? And he said, it's Human Nature. And right. I heard it and I'm like, yo, this is it. And that started, I think I was nine. So yeah, that's my introduction to Michael Jackson.
I think I was eight when Dangerous came out, and I definitely got that on cassette tape for Christmas.
Shout out to Teddy Riley.
Right.
It's not really the best. It's not the best album.
It's not. It's really not.
It's got some records though.
It does.
In the Closet. Remember the Time is top three, Mike.
How you feel about Jam?
At the time, I liked Jam. Jam was fire when it came out. Heavy Jam, D smokes Jam, that verse. Come, Heavy D smokes that verse. He bodies that. That's like the perfect rapper. Heavy D was like the first Common.
Oh, that's an interesting comparison. You think he was the first Common?
And what I mean by that is, you know how Common is like...
The power of AI.
Yeah.
You think if Heavy D was still alive, he'd be doing Google commercials?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a fire Common AI line that I'm dying to get out. Yeah, you know how, I mean, I don't want to call it, because in a lot of instances, people use this as a negative term. So they call them, like, worst case scenario, they call certain people like safe Negroes, right? And I might even use that term to describe Common in my past, but I've grown and matured.
Okay.
I think Heavy D would be a really good hip hop ambassador. He has a lot of records that people love and don't realize that they're him. Casual listeners of hip hop, like, you know, Now That We Found Love is everywhere and should actually be in more places. I feel like his hits are understated, and I feel like in this era, it would be a really good time to reintroduce people to Heavy D if he was still here. And I think he would be doing a lot of stuff. If anything, behind the scenes at worst. But yeah. I think Heavy D walks so Common can fly.
I don't think I ever listened to Waterbed Heath.
Why are you saying like that?
Because it's quite a title. 90. I mean, yeah, you know, he's somebody whose career was basically, it's one of those things where like he was so integral to Uptown.
Yes.
That.
Yes.
As Puff rose and Uptown fell, he had nowhere to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So he had to, you know, he's got like you know, he's got like records from like DJ Battle Cat and Tony Dofat on him. You know what I mean? Like he just didn't go and get that upper echelon producer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about the song. I forgot about Heavy.
I don't even know what Heavy is.
What was the single from that?
Big Daddy.
Don't Stop. And On Point with Big Pun and 8-Ball.
I remember On Point. Yep. You are. Right. You are in a bag that I was not expecting you to be in.
All right. Anyway.
Anyway. Yeah. Let's move on.
Let's move on. Oh man, you give me the easy setup. I mean, I'm moving off Illmatic now. I'm gonna keep going.
But let me make sure I don't have anything. I mean, else up there. I don't.
You could have said Halftime, which introduced like Nas as a solo artist to the world.
It did.
That's 92. That song holds up really well for 92.
Yeah.
And you could have said Life's a Bitch.
Yeah, that's an honorable mention. Close, really close. But I think that's more definitive for AZ than Nas.
Mm, I mean, he got signed off that verse.
I also remember BG telling the story of Nas. And that was really, that always stuck with me. Where BG was like, well, New Orleans, we didn't really listen to East Coast music. We thought the beats were too like slow and sad and depressing. But he was like, I remember hearing that record and fall in love with it. Of course, cause, you know, it's the concept and all that stuff, you know, the rapper stuff. But I always thought it was interesting that that's the record that BG of all people, who's one of my favorite rappers, like that's the record that he picks for Nas. I always just thought that was interesting. So it's definitive to me for that reason. It links up two of my favorite rappers. But yeah, you could have went there too. Absolutely. Before Halftime, I would go with Memory Lane.
Oh.
Honestly.
I like Halftime more.
I know Halftime is that's the single that was on the Zebrahead soundtrack. I remember that. But no, oh my God, Memory Lane.
I mean, there's a reason why Illmatic is Illmatic.
Absolutely. Great album.
Not on my list. One Time for Your Mind.
No, not on anybody's list.
Let's move on. I mean, this is such an easy layup. I got to have The Message.
Top. Two Nas? Top three Nas?
It's up there.
Oh my God. Amazing record.
So the story of It Was Written, right? So after Illmatic, MC Search decides he doesn't want to manage Nas anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they negotiated the breakup was that MC Search was gonna get some publishing off of whatever his next album would end up being. So Nas is kind of rudderless for a little while. And he decides he wants Marley Marl to produce his next album. He wants to do a Queens album. And that's how you get Star Wars and On the Real. They're from that era, right?
Spoiler alert, On the Real, honorable mention.
Mm. And it's not until the infamous 95 Source Awards where Big won instead of Nas,
mm-hmm.
where Nas decided, I need to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
So he links up with Steve Stout, who then links him up with Trackmasters, which is going to cause a lot of drama later on.
Mm.
But they had to. This is a whole different Nas now, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of sound. Now, some of that is because he's working with different producers, right? Some of that is, we've talked about it on the show before. I've never really heard, maybe I don't listen, I'll be honest, I don't listen to a lot of other music podcasts, so maybe other folks talk about this, but like there's a real distinct change in sound quality even, but like the sound of like hard, grimy records in like 1995.
Yes.
Right? Like you go from, I mean, part of it is really just going to be like, we're moving away from sampled percussion and we're instead instead trying to dirty up keyboard percussion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We hadn't yet graduated to the, nah, just let the digital clean stuff fly. Who cares? Like, we were still trying to make it sound like a sample, and that's what The Message is, mm-hmm. right? And so, like, this is such an important song for Nas. Aside from being amazing, it was their way to try to pair it up with, they pair it up with If I Ruled the World in the video, because they're trying to tell everybody, don't worry. When you buy this Nas album, you're still getting songs like The Message.
And you very much got that.
Yeah. This first verse is unfreaking believable.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The beat is beautiful. It's like,
yes,
it's perfect Trackmasters.
introduced me to Sting.
Mm.
Gave Sting some bail. dated a girl who was really, really into Sting. So she like nerded out, helped me like nerd out on Sting. But no. Shape of My Heart, one of my favorite songs ever because of the message.
Yeah.
That's how you know you got a good song. When the song is so good, it makes you like the song that it sampled.
I don't know what to say about the message. It was super important for Nas and like what it meant to his existing fans. But it also is just an incredible song.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Okay. Next up, what do you got?
We'll keep it. I got a couple of It Was Written records.
I was assuming you might.
Of course. I gave you Power.
You're not going to believe this. This is an honorable mention for me.
I'm not mad at that.
I figured I would love the song more than you.
No, that's is that my favorite Primo beat?
Whoa!
I know. Dude.
Sorry. Okay.
It's the little things that I love about this beat. So it's not the greatest sample. Even though the piece of the record that he samples is crazy.
It's a great beat. Don't get me wrong.
It's the intro, right? So it's the it's a weed concept.
You want to hear
clearly
the,
high.
You want to hear the story behind this?
Yeah, but let me just note. Actually, I really do. But let me just note that the way that this transitions from the first sample to the main beat, and it starts with the kick, ta ba boom, like always gets me. I seen some cold nights and bloody day. What?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like this. Hearing this, I bought. It Was Written on tape because I wanted Silent Murder.
Duh.
Oh, Silent Murder.
We're gonna get there.
And hearing this and my dad's 79 Cutlass Supreme, and like I looked at my dad like he was crazy. Like, do you hear this? And my dad was not a fan of East Coast music at all. So he's just driving, he's ignoring me. But like lost my amazing record. And as much of a weed concept that this song is, like executed perfectly. Now I'm happy until I felt somebody else grab me. What? He jammed because he was tired. He was tired of killing people. Duh. Amazing record.
So this was the last song they recorded for It Was Written.
Okay.
And Trackmasters and Nas had a disagreement about that intro.
Really? Okay.
The Trackmasters wanted to take it out because they thought it sounded goofy, which it does.
It does.
It's like I'm a gun.
Sell me.
Nas was worried that his that the audience wouldn't get it. Which I'm sure you, as an MC who sometimes can write about concepts,
sure.
You might think to yourself, like, is my audience gonna get this?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is not in the era of genius. However, if you bought the CD, the lyrics were in the CD. So they were. So like, people probably would have figured it out. But Nas was afraid it would go over people's heads, and he didn't want that to happen.
Mm.
So, because it was at the end of the process, they were just like, okay, well, we're still not in agreement about it, but it's on there, so we're going.
Let's just roll with it. Okay.
And that's how it's there.
Interesting.
It's a great song.
Oh my God, yes.
This is one of those songs where as a kid, I would like, because it sounds real quaint now, but like back in 96, 97.
Yeah.
Hip hop was still like, for your parents especially, at least my parents, one of those things where it's like, what are those people rapping about?
Yeah.
There were a handful of songs that a young obsessed rap fan could point to and be like, aha, there's a concept.
Yes.
This was on that list. Because what am I going to do? I'm going to play some Wu-Tang for them and be like, what you see is that it connects. And then I end up looking like the crazy guy where I've got like a bunch of stuff on a board and I'm connecting it with string and I'm like, well, this, no, you play him this, right?
Right. Right. Okay, I'm rolling.
Okay. I don't knock you for I Give You Power. It's an amazing song.
God, it's a great record. Okay. Yep. Go ahead. What you got?
I mean, I'm going to leave you some layups. I want to take Silent Murder.
That's on your definitive list?
That is on my definitive list. I cannot believe that this did not make the CD.
Dog.
With the, by the way, with the bonus verse, the longer version, like Silent Murder is unbelievable.
That soul to soul sample and the way those drums come in. Oh my God. It's sort of like the confuse. Oh my God. Do you have a good quality version of that?
Even the second verse, right? Where it's like, they say the arms of Nicky Barnes. It's like, Nas is in a whole other place right now.
Yeah. That whole album, Nas loses his mind lyrically. Like, that's some of the best rapping I've ever heard. It was written easy.
Mm. Mm. I don't know about that, but.
So, no.
I mean, look, I'm not, are we going to play the Illmatic, It Was Written game again?
We've done that at length. It's okay. I don't fault anybody. I think Illmatic is more definitive. It Was Written's better, but I'm totally cool with somebody thinking different. Do you have a good quality version of Silent Murder?
Oh, I'm sure I do. Yeah.
Okay. If it's not too much trouble for you to find it and Dropbox it, that would be amazing.
Send that your way,
please. Man, Silent. Okay, you nerd out about Silent Murder. Whatever else you need to get off.
No, I mean Silent Murder is like, I picked it because first of all, it's an incredible song, but also like, if I'm telling the story of Nas to people, I'm picking songs that were either left off or released as like, you had to go to Circuit City to go to bonus track, or you had to buy the tape. Like, inexplicably throughout this guy's career, as we're going to talk about extensively in the Patreon episode this week, extensively, he is leaving stuff. He's like not including amazing songs. Mm. Like, if you're a hip hop fan in 96, everybody who heard Silent Murder was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, well, you know, it's growing up. No, we all knew immediately.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a case where like they didn't know where to put it.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, man. Like, you could have slid that in somewhere in the, you know, I get the second half, you got like Suspect and Shootouts. Like, I get it. It's a little heavy there, but you know, slide that in. Like in between I Gave You Power and Take It in Blood, maybe.
That would be a fire run of I Gave You Power, Take It in Blood, Watch Them Niggas.
Yeah, I don't like Watch Them. I'm good.
Oh my God.
No, I don't like that beat.
Oh, that Michael Jackson sample with those drums. And I was thinking about random nuances in hip hop records that you like, but like nobody really talks about. I don't know if I explained that question well. I'm trying to think of other examples, but my favorite part of that record is after Foxy finishes the verse and she hits the ad-lib, what? That's so fire to me. I don't know why, but I love that. I love little whatever in records, but yeah. Oh my God. I just made my girl listen to It Was Written yesterday. I'm about to make her do it again today. Like, you're killing me right now. But yeah. Okay, you good with Silent Murder?
I'm good.
Okay.
I left like two or maybe three layups for you. Where are you going?
I've only got one more It Was Written record, I think.
Whoa!
Yeah. Well, I got... Okay, so... No, I'm sorry. I have two more. Okay. No, I have three more.
Yeah, that
one
makes...
is tied with another. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I saw it.
Okay.
I'll go with the one that's... My bad.
Go ahead.
I'll go with the one that is absolutely... Because the other one, I think, begs a conversation.
Okay.
I'm going with Black Girl Lost.
Just not even anywhere on my list.
That's fine.
So tell me why this song.
It's one of those records where I can't really explain it. I just know that it's definitive. When I think of Nas, it's one of the first records that I come to. I remember the sample, the odd uncredited JoJo hook.
Why is that not like a feature?
Yeah, I don't know. The storytelling, even the skit before, I don't know why. I've always loved that song, and I've always thought that it was, I don't know. I was like, why is she, as a kid, I'm listening to these, I've got these questions like, well, why is she lost? Where is she going? What do you mean she's lost? What's wrong with having fun and partying all the time? I love that record. I love it. I really don't have any other reason why outside of, I just love it.
Yeah. I don't like the sample. Nas is definitely getting a little back to Africa 5%er here, which, you know, it's fine.
That wasn't supposed to be that funny.
never forget Belly, right? Just never forget Belly. He had a real big role in the making of Belly.
Yes, he did.
Which makes his 1998 all the more amazing when you really think about it.
I didn't even think about that, but you're absolutely right.
Like, if you think about like when Nas peaked, people are going to say, well, you got it. It was written in Nomadic. And it's like, get it. I get it. You can argue 98 might have been 98 into 99. That might have been peak for everything he did. But I digress. We were going to talk more about that later on the Patreon exclusive I Am Double Disc Unreleased Review. So, Black Girl Lost. I'm rolling. Huh?
Yeah, Black Girl Lost for me.
Wow. I left some. Okay. Well, I'm just going to waltz right into affirmative action then.
Nowhere near my list.
Oh, God. Please tell me why.
Nothing firm related on my list.
Oh, I debated that.
Yeah, nah, no firm. No, I'm sorry. I do have a firm record on my list. I do, but it's a B-side. It's in my unreleased list.
What do you have, La Familia?
Nah. Huh. You just want me to tell it now?
No, it's okay. I wanted to guess. So you don't have affirmative action on your list?
Nah. It's a dope record, but like,
It's an incredible record.
Incredible.
This beat.
Yes. It's dope. I have no qualms about anything on this song. Even the Foxy Math is definitive.
Foxy Brown Math? I mean, Nas's verse on here is like, here's why I picked it. Because he goes through this whole like Nas Esco, we've watched a lot of Goodfellas movies phase, right? If I'm picking peak, like in terms of rhymes, if I'm picking peak Nas Esco, it's, for me, it's his verse on affirmative action.
Okay. I'm rolling.
Life's a bee, but God forbid the bee divorced me. I'll be flooded with ice, so hellfire can't score. Like, crazy.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable on here. Yeah. Cormega is great. AZ has a great opener. Foxy is, I mean, it's Foxy.
She bodies it. She does. She bodies it.
Even though, in the leading credence to all the people who whispered that she got help with the rhymes, if you look at the CD booklet, they list like, you know, it's like Nas verse and whatever, but they showed for some of Foxy's lyrics, they had like Nas's name next to them, which could have been a mistake, but also like, you know, you could also say that and go, maybe he wrote that part for Foxy, like, and it was a mistake because they just went off of like some pad in the studio or whatever. But anyway, no, affirmative action. Oh my goodness.
It's a great record.
Incredible.
It's a great record. Yeah, great record.
Okay.
No qualms for me, bro.
All right. What else you got? Are you still on It Was Written?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious.
Okay. So it was a tie between should I put this on my list because it is definitive but it also represents a very strong theory that I have about music that I've talked about on the show. Or should I just pick another record that I absolutely just love and I go to whenever I listen to Nas? So one side of that is If I Ruled the World. And the other side is Taken in Blood.
I thought really hard about Taken in Blood.
It's a fire record.
It's incredible.
Nas is rapping his behind off, and that beat is crazy.
It's a crazy beat. Nas is great on it. It's definitive. It's really close to the top of my honorable mentions for sure.
Okay.
If I Ruled the World to me was definitive. Go ahead.
All I'm going to say is it's probably like a perfect song, but it's what started my I never need to hear this song again theory.
Oh.
This is what got me into like not liking singles. Because I like MTV ran this into the ground summer of 96.
They did.
So being a kid at home for the summer and watching nothing but SportsCenter, Saved by the Bell, and MTV and BET... like, I heard this song 10 times a day for 3 months. I'll never need to hear it again. It's a great record, though. And it changes Nas's life.
It totally changes Nas's life. It's really, fortuitous timing, right? Because they must have recorded this before the score blew up. And they obviously recorded it before Killing Me Softly comes out as a single. So like they catch Lauren at the perfect time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Sony must have been sitting there summer of 96, you know, when they weren't jumping into the piles of money Scrooge McDuck style, right, like all record labels were doing. They must have just been like, man, we did that perfectly.
Yeah.
Whoever, whatever exec made that happen, they were just like, whew. Now, if I ruled the world, it was kind of controversial at the time.
Why?
Because it was Nas's first single after Illmatic, and it's Trackmasters. It's got a pop hook. There's, you know, it's sampling one thing and then interpolating another. It's amazing that this was controversial. And then, you know, 15 months later, he comes out with Firm Biz. Just shows you how fast we went from how dare Nas appear on a Trackmasters beat to, well, we're just going to remake Square Biz and it's fine.
Oof.
Because of the Puffy effect, right? But we're not there yet. Like 96 Puffy and 97 Puffy are very different animals.
Very different. Absolutely.
It was still much like, they were sampling, but for the most part, it was all the beats were very bass heavy. They were really all about the bass line in a way, not like 808 style, like bass heavy, but like, if you think about I think about like beats from 96, like popular beats from like summer and fall, right? So like Puff was doing stuff in 96, like, that 112 remix, right? Which is all about that bass line.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Even though it's like a sampled bass line, it's like a known thing. Even like if you listen to Hypnotize, right? It's all about that sample. It's
about the
not until he realizes with Can't Hold Me Down and then Mo Money, Mo Problems, of course, but Can't Hold Me Down teaches Puff the lesson of I can go way farther than anybody thinks I can.
Okay.
And then the rest of 97 is everybody trying to catch up to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you get like, you know, Wyclef, We're Trying to Stay Alive. It's how you get Firm Biz. It's how you get Be My Sunshine. It's how you get Phenomenon. It's how you get like 97 is a weird year.
Jesus, Phenomenon.
Something like a phenomenon. Yeah, no, it's
God, that record's so bad. Okay, yep. I'm rolling. You're absolutely
so
right.
So if anyway,
you're 100% correct.
It's amazing that like amongst like the hardest core hip hop fans, like If I Rule the World, the arms are crossed real big, which is why they had to put The Message as the opening to the video.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So anyway, that's definitely definitive for me.
I'm rolling.
Okay.
I'm rolling.
All right. What's next?
I guess, do we go to, okay, let me mark
so
stuff off.
If it's not, I mean, if you don't have anything else on it, was right. I mean, I got to say, I was torn about Street Dreams Remix.
Honorable mention for me.
I actually, honorable mention for me too. I was torn because it definitely represents a kind of song that Nas would then kind of make a little bit of, like sonically, right? Like this sort of, not quite softer in a bad way, but like a bit more of a softer, like Trackmasters R&B influence style.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he's doing the, he did the record, like he did like remixes with Allure, but also all the other not like R. Kelly stuff that he does.
Yeah,
did you ever think is super underrated?
Yeah,
I love that beat. The Trackmasters, they reached like it became a parody on Fiesta, obviously, but like when they were playing around with pianos and Spanish guitars, I was such a sucker for that stuff.
Yeah,
which makes it amazing that the Firm album is terrible.
Yeah.
I don't have anything from the Firm album on my list of 15, but I have Phone Tap on my honorable mentions. Phone Tap is great.
I get it. I think that represents a time for Nas. I have the Firm Biz remix just because I love it. But I don't have anything. But Phone Tap is 100%. If you're going to encompass that era with one record, you probably would go with Phone Tap because that's the record where people are like, okay, yeah.
Phone Tap, it's funny, Nas and Jay both had to pull very similar moves in the fall of 97 into early 98. Jay had to follow up Sunshine with Streets Is Watching.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to follow up Firm Biz with Phone Tap.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were getting a lot of heat for those records.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Phone Tap is amazing. That Firm album, though, what happened?
I think it was too many cooks in the kitchen.
I've definitely heard it referred to as the too many cooks in the kitchen problem. It's definitely also the problem of like not Dre's 99 to say 2004 sound wasn't perfected yet.
Correct. Yep.
He's getting there because very clearly, like at the time, Phone Tap, we were like, oh, this is interesting. But now you hear it and you're like, yeah, that's a late 90s Dr. Dre beat.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't fully there yet because there's some Dre clunkers all over that album.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they made all sorts of this, like, because they were putting out so many, like, they were jumping on so many old, like, classic hip hop beats on mixtapes. And so people were kind of wondering, like, the expectations were so high.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, Cormega didn't want to sign to Trackmasters because he thought it was a conflict of interest that
nature moved to Marcy.
Right. But no, I mean, he thought it was Cormega was like, well, you know, if Steve Stout is managing Nas's career and also managing the Trackmasters, and if I sign to the Trackmasters label, exactly how does that work?
Right.
Jungle is the one who brought Nature to Nas.
Mm, that I didn't know.
Yeah. Jungle brings Nature to Nas. Jungle was Nature's manager.
Mm.
Jungle was also early on Nori's manager.
Mm-hmm. I do remember that.
And really that, like, that Nori album is like the lost, like, sonically, it's almost like a prequel to I Am, aside from Super Thug, which sticks out like a sore thumb. But it's all the, like, LES, Dame Grease, Trackmasters. Like, you get some of the keyboard stuff. You get a lot of Trackmasters, guitars, and pianos. Like, it's all the same stuff.
Mm.
Anyway, we'll talk about that more. So let's move on from It Was Written then.
Okay.
So what's next up for you?
I've only got two records from I Am. The retail I Am.
Same.
The first one is a layup.
Yeah.
That's Hate Me Now.
For sure. Has to be on the list.
Yep. Yep. Anything we want to... delve into
the video premiering on TRL was such a deal.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's interesting that, so with The Message and If I Ruled the World, they were like, all right, we're going to pair this 1-2 punch, but we're going to have it where it's like just for the video. Right. Because the actual second single, of course, is Street Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
But for I Am, they just went ahead with, well, we're going to have essentially two lead singles, right? We're going to have the radio single, quote unquote, which is Hate Me Now. And then we're going to have the hard single, which is Nas's Like.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of interesting that they felt, because those two were, they didn't come out that, like, it was like a month or two, like a month maybe between those releases. Like, they were both out at the same time.
Yeah.
But Hate Me Now, you know, it's 99, like, in a nutshell, right?
Absolutely.
The beat, the video, everything. Like, you cannot have this list and not have it on there, for sure.
Absolutely. 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 Yeah. It's 90. Yeah, it's 99 in a nutshell. I don't have anything else to say besides that. 99 in a nutshell. The second record, I think, is where things get a little hazy. This is a personal pick for me.
Yeah.
I don't know how other people feel about this record, but we talk. Lately, I've been asking people... And it, just because, not because I'm on like this mission, but it just comes up in conversation. What are some hip hop records that scared you?
Oh.
What are some hip hop records that actually like stirred you emotionally, where you were like concerned, or it just really made you think, and not on some like introspective stuff. Like it just kind of jarred you. Like I remember watching the Scarface Never Seen a Man Die video as a kid and being absolutely frightened, like probably had nightmares that night. So I'm going to go with Undying Love on my list because I lived in Colorado during that time, and I Am came out right before Columbine, I want to say. Columbine is April 20th, 1998.
Yeah.
And I think I Am came out in March, right?
I think that's right.
So I remember walking home from school because that whole day was so ominous, and walking home from school, listening to I Am and that record came on, and just like thinking about the kids who were murdered and then Nas telling the story. And it just like, it shook me. So that's one of the few hip hop records to jar me in that way emotionally. So for me, has to be on the list.
Yeah, it's April 6th, 99.
Okay, there we go. There we go.
Honorable mention, for sure.
Okay.
It's an incredible, incredible song.
Yep.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else if you're picking two songs from I Am.
What was the other record you thought I was going
to
go?
I thought you were going to try to switch it up on me and pick New York State of Mind Part 2.
Nah.
Which is an honorable mention.
Okay.
Is incredible.
Yeah, it's super fire.
Incredible. But no, there's only, if you're picking two songs from I Am, there's only two options. Hate Me Now and Nas Is Like. You can't have a definitive 15 about Nas and not include Nas Is Like.
Yes, you can.
It's,
I hate when Nas Is Like represents.
Okay, okay. Tell me. So let's talk about this.
I just hate that. Like it's like the. I think I hate how definitive it is. I think it's like the backpacker. It's the Black Panther. Black Panther. It's the backpack anthem for people who aren't really backpackers. And I just get on my snooty, snobby soapbox and say, you're not allowed to strap this backpack on. You're not dingy enough. You're not hip hop enough because you went with Nas Is Like. That's all. That's why. But it's a great record. It's a great beat. I have no problems with people who love the record. I just hate what it represents.
It's an incredible song. It is Nas at one of the peaks of his power. And it's primo. Like it's just peak primo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else. It's like A+ from both of them. And like it after Firm, after that Firm album,
mm-hmm.
There's a reason why they put Nas Is Like out as that first single.
Absolutely.
Even though they knew they had Hate Me Now, like waiting,
mm-hmm.
You put Nas Is Like out just to let everybody know we've got this. We heard you. We're bringing Primo back.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
I'm not mad at that.
All right. I only have, I think I'm down to, I think I only picked 13 because one of them I was like, nah, it's not really one. I need to come up with two more while we're doing this. So.
Okay.
Where are you going next?
Where am I going next? Let me.
Well, I have one if you want to wait.
Please.
I mean, considering we're doing a whole Patreon exclusive episode about it, the I Am sessions themselves are incredibly kind of important to Nas's career.
Absolutely.
There are a ton of songs that were recorded during that era that did not get released on I Am, that did not get released on Nostradamus.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them ended up getting released on... either, you know, some of them made it to the QB's Finest compilation. Some of them made it to Lost Tapes project, obviously. And so I wanted to pick one from that.
Okay.
I put Blaze of 50 on here.
100% on my list.
I mean, talk about storytelling. Talk about just that kind of like, it's like it's Nas at his best.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's the instrumentation is like vintage Trackmasters. Like that's exactly what you want to hear from Nas on a Trackmasters record, right? You don't want to hear Firm Biz, right? You want to hear Blaze of 50.
Yep.
It's like, it's one of his greatest songs ever.
Mm.
I love Blaze of 50.
Wow. It's a great record.
It's great.
Great record. I have no qualms with anything that you said.
Okay.
Where
are you going next?
You got me thinking though.
Yeah.
Because I've got a couple of records from those sessions on my list, but I'm like, are these definitive or do I just like them a lot?
Well, that it's tough because there's some of them where it's just like, oh yeah, I need that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. Okay. Because there's two that I have. But okay. I don't know if they're definitive though.
Well, let's talk about it.
So all right, so I'll just mention them.
Yeah.
One is Drunk by Myself.
Mm, honorable mention.
And the other is Do Rags.
Not on my list.
Okay. And I'm thinking like, okay, so if we're going with this whole era of Nas, and we just go like Lost Tapes, like, is Black Zombie more definitive? because we don't have any, nothing on our list is like the like positive, optimistic Nas. You know, like most people will go, I can there, but Black Zombie is, to me, accomplishes that better.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because Do-Rags and Black Zombie, those are both post the IM sessions. Those are 2000, 2001 Stillmatic sessions.
That's Stillmatic. Okay.
Or Death of Escobar sessions, right? Same idea.
Right, 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 right. But like, I love the pianos on Do-Rags.
Mm, that's interesting.
You know, I have Purple as an honorable mention, but that's just because the beat.
You pick out the beat, the beats. You pick these beats. You're picking out from your favorite Lost Tapes records. I'm just, I don't get
because
it.
All, because I know where you're going. Because you're going like you're going early Alchemist.
I'm going. You Gotta Love It, which is unbelievable.
Yeah, You Gotta Love It is crazy. There may or may not be a freestyle floating around.
Drunk by Myself.
Yeah. Drunk by Myself. Drunk by Myself's on my list. Right, yeah. Right. That was the record. I remember hearing that on, was it TheReal.com? I don't know where I heard Drunk by Myself at the first time, but that's one of the first like, oh, I'm not supposed to hear this. Remember when we would get leaks, it was Nas's album. It was I Am. It was Mobb Deep's Murder Music. And it was like some of those Tupac Machiavelli bootlegs. Like when you got leaks, you felt like you were like eavesdropping on something you weren't supposed to hear.
Yeah.
You almost like turn it down a little bit. Like, yo, am I supposed to be hearing this? And so the first time I heard Drunk by Myself, like I got mad. Because I'm like, why don't I have this on a retail Nas album? What happened? Why is, what is, because that's, yeah.
I think I heard Drunk by Myself for the first time when I didn't get like real good, decent internet until I was on dial-up internet until 2000 when I went to college. This is, I'm old, right? And all of a sudden I went from that to like, no, we've got 100 megabit in all the dorms everywhere. And I was like, whoa. And so I went crazy, bought all these extra hard drives because I was like, I need this music. And I had the Death of Escobar bootleg, right? Which opens with like Afterlife. And I think, you know, Fetus, and then Drunk by Myself, which is, right? It's crazy. Drunk by Myself, man, is that on my list? It's tough. Again, like what's a favorite versus what is, yeah.
Right.
I have nothing from the Stillmatic era on my Definitive 15.
Go ahead.
I don't love that album. I have some honorable mentions.
But I really remember being upset that got five mics. Like being legit mad.
Let's look at this track list for Stillmatic right now.
Because I knew what they were doing.
You mean you knew that because Jay got five mics for, for Blueprint?
Absolutely. That was the first time I was like, hey, wait a minute. That's not fair.
So Stillmatic, you get the intro.
That was the honorable mention for me.
I have that as an honorable mention as well.
Yeah, because that's underdog. That's underdog Nas.
Great sample.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Stacey Ladislaw, absolutely.
Shout out to Hangman 3.
They got some records, man.
They got beats.
Benzino really messed them up.
Yeah. Ether, Got Yourself a Gun, Smoking.
Mm-mm.
You're the Man.
Fire. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Rewind.
No.
One Mic. Eh. You could argue that's definitive, but I don't love it.
Yeah, it's One Mic is absolutely definitive, but
Second Childhood.
No. I was trying to decide if I liked this version of Ninth's better, but I think the original's better.
Destroy and Rebuild.
No.
The Flyest.
No.
The infamous Braveheart Party. Which they so quickly were like, no, erase it. It never happened.
They threw the Men in Black light on us.
Oh, man. Rule with A. Marie.
I love that Tears of Fear song, but not as a sample.
My Country?
No.
What Goes Around?
Kind of hard.
Isn't that a four mic album?
No.
In source terminology.
I was going to say it's three and a half, but yes, it's a four mic when it comes to the source. Yes.
Right. No, the source would never give 2001 Nas three and a half mics.
Not at all. They would go out of business.
And then on the bonus, like on the, on they had a limited edition with a second disc where they had No Ideas Original.
Fire.
And then classic. Snippets of You Gotta Love It, My Way, Make It Last, and Do Rags.
And like all four of those songs are better than 90%.
All five of those. You take those. You could, if you took off the five worst songs from Stillmatic and put those on there, we might be talking about five, at least something approaching five mics, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's amazing that they put Rule on there because they must have not thought that one mic was gonna work as a single, because you put that on there because you're still, it's the Trackmasters. They must have, you know, was A-Marie signed to the Trackmasters?
I was going to say, she was definitely signed to Columbia.
She was signed to Columbia. So, you know, so Columbia's like, hey, we need this to happen. They're like, we need the single.
We got this new girl. We're going to put a lot of money behind her. Yada, yada, yada. Yep.
Because they knew Got Yourself Your Gun was going to be the lead single. They must have not thought that You're the Man and One Mic were going to work the way they did for people.
God, Got Yourself a Gun is so bad. Okay.
Megahertz, man.
Boy, oh boy.
He had an interesting run.
His run lasted for about 2 weeks, but it was a strong 2 weeks.
Interesting that his wiki page doesn't have like a traditional like list of his, like what his singles are. You know what I mean? Like most of the time you go to producer's page and they tell you like what's there, but like you don't see it here.
Huh.
Anyway. Okay. So do you have anything off Stillmatic?
No, other than the freestyle, no.
Okay.
Actually, wait, let me make sure.
So let's just say, what do you have left?
No. I have, okay, so I wanted to talk about Nas verses on other people's records.
So this is where I ran into problems, because if you're giving me 15 songs to play for someone for Nas, there's two earlier in his career that you have to play.
Yep.
You have to play Live at the Barbecue.
Yep.
And you have to play Verbal Intercourse.
Yep.
You could argue you should probably also play the original Eye for an Eye, but now you're down. Yep. Now you're going down a path where you're like, do you play the third verse of Fast Life with him and Kool G going back and forth? Like Nas kills a ton of guest appearances, but like you got to put those two. And so I was wondering, I was like, do I consider that a definitive? Because it's a verse on someone else's song, but they are like, I mean, Live at the Barbecue starts his career.
That's why it's on my list.
Okay. I get that 100%. That verse is ridiculous.
It is. I wish I would have heard it in 91.
I can't even imagine what I would have thought listening to that in 91.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to know. I could ask my cousin.
When we in the 90s, people used to really draw that link between Rakim and Nas.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear it as much once you get past Illmatic.
No, you don't.
But you really hear it on Live at the Barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a modified Rakim flow.
Absolutely.
But that's even fine.
I think the pauses.
It's
is
the
what
pauses,
tells.
Right?
It's the pauses. Yep.
Yep. And then Verbal Intercourse, like, it's upper like top tier Nas on you, top tier RZA.
I was gonna say, and you want me to like what off of Lost Tapes too?
I know. And it's such a ridiculous verse.
I might need to hit Verbal Intercourse. I'm picking snooze button beats right now. Just to when I'm not making music, like I just want to go and just rap.
Mm.
And I'm like, I want to pick definitive records to rap over. Like if this is my last snooze button, what would I rap over? Do you rap over Verbal Intercourse? Do you rap over Shadowboxing? Like, do you rap over It's Yours? Like, what Wu-Tang record do you pick?
Can you open this snooze button with you recreating the If You Had 24 Hours to Live intro? Be like, if I had 12 beats to rap over, what beats would I choose?
Or maybe I could just do a jacket for
beats. Yeah.
Okay, whatever. Yes. Verbal Intercourse Nas is like a cheat code. Mm. It's a game genie.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. What else do I have? Okay. I have I only have two more records.
Same here. We're in the home stretch.
Oh, wow. That went by quick. Okay. And I almost feel like these two records that are left kind of accomplish the same thing.
I wonder if we have the exact same two records.
They're the same type of song.
Mm, we definitely have one of them. I know it.
Okay. And that would be
Made You Look.
Get Down?
Oh. Get Down? Get Down?
I hate Made You Look. It's definitive, but I hate it. I hate that song.
Okay, so you tell me about Get Down and I'll tell you about Get
Down. It's up there. It's up there with Step Into a World.
I like that song.
I hate Step Into a World. I want to fight KRS-One over Step Into a World. I hate Step Into a World.
Really? You know, okay. Yeah. You're going to scream. That was my introduction to KRS-One.
Okay. No, no, no. That was a resurgence. That's the self-titled album, right?
I think so. I might own that album. Oh my God.
That had Heartbeat. That had a friend. That beat is amazing. It has some joints on that album. The album cover. Oh wait, no, not self-titled. It was I Got Next, right?
I Got Next.
And the album, the background is like an orangish.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a reintroduction to KRS-One. So No. Yeah. I'm not mad at that. That was an introduction for a lot of people. I hate Step Into a World. Those two records, Step Into a World and Made You Look, are the same reasons why I don't like Nas. It's like, yeah, it's just like, I like underground. It's the Scarface and Bun B. Oh, I listen to Down South Hip Hop. Like, I like Scarface. No, you don't.
Wait, there's a...
You like the Scarface records he did with Jay-Z.
There's a Puffy and Stevie J remix of Step Into a World?
Yes, there is. You didn't know about that?
Have I ever heard that?
You want to hear it?
Do I want to hear it? I bet you as soon as you play it, I'm going to know what it is. But I'm like, wait a minute.
All right, hold on.
I remember buying this CD as a like 13 or 14 year old and being like, nah, this ain't it. I wasn't in the KRS-One.
All right, here we go.
It's such a Stevie J bass line.
And we won't stop.
Oh, what are you doing?
We can't stop. And we won't stop.
Oh, yeah.
We can't stop.
What was... Wait, Puff's rapping? Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
So this is very interesting because KRS-One represents everything that Puff Daddy is not.
Of course.
To a degree, because those people who know Puff know that Puff is very much hip hop.
Yeah.
My earliest memory of Puff Daddy is him dancing in the Survival of the Fittest video. Mm. Still one of my favorite moments of in hip hop, because he had the Tommy crew neck. Oh, the Tommy crew neck was so hard. Like, so this doesn't bother me, but it's weird that this is 98 KRS-One.
97
KRS-One with Puff. That's very interesting. Because you think Puff would have been, you think KRS-One, I'm never doing a song with Puffy. I'm real hip hop. So I imagine that's how he talks. But no, I don't know. Get Down. If I'm going to pick, because I wanted to pick a record from 2000s Nas. And I think it comes down to those two records. It comes down to a lot of people like Get Down. Think that it's fire sets off Godson really, really well. And I think I picked that like as the a lot of people like it. But like, I don't really go to that record. But I get why people like it.
To me, it was kind of amazing that by 2002, he was already pivoting to the, well, I'm going to make sure I've got like a single for the heads.
Mm.
Like... And honestly, those two, like that idea are my last two songs for him. Like Made You Look, I liked it at the time, but also like it really worked for Nas because it was a way to, for something, for him to play. Cause so him and Steve Stout like sort of split ways, right? Mm-hmm. And he wasn't working with Trackmasters as much. And he really, you know, people give Trackmasters a lot of crap for some records they made with Nas, but like, without Trackmasters, his record on making like commercially successful singles was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the J beef, he wasn't working with anybody from Rockefeller, which cuts him out of Just Blaze and Kanye Beats in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So like he's working with what he can work with.
Mm-hmm.
So he found with records like Made You Look is a good example. And then not quite as commercial. So that's one of mine. And then I was trying to pick something post Godson. And I was like, man, is there anything close to definitive here? And I went with Thief's Theme, which I love, but I don't know if it's definitive, but to me, it represents like once Nas got to a certain point, he would keep making records, but every so often he would tap back into like just that grimy Nas sound. And he did it all the time, right? Whether it's Nasty or Talk of New York or...
I forgot about Talk of New York.
Yeah, right? Yeah. There were some records off of... I mean, we might as well just go... I'm going to go start talking about... All right, did you have two more left?
I had one more, but okay. you almost make me want to consider one of my favorite Nas records that ended up on a B-side Def Jam compilation to replace Get Down, because to me that's upper echelon elite Nas rapping later in his career.
What's that?
Where You At.
Do I have Where You At on my list? What does Where You At sound like? Hold on.
You want me to play it? Because I'll 100% play it.
Like Future Where You At?
No.
Just kidding. Yeah, play it.
All right, hold up. Future Where You At. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Dog. Hold on. Snow setting in the bezel, most sipping phantom, bumping air and effort. Come on. Black scented eye squinting, Air Force One. Come on. In it, pressing in the star, blowing up in the galaxy. Pagan Holidays, A Far Cry From My Reality. What? Yeah, that. Okay, I'm replacing Get Down. Because Get Down was like, yeah, sure. But I have one more. How many records do you have?
That's it. I was going to start talking about honorable mentions.
Okay, I have one more.
Okay.
I put Echo on my list.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me more.
I think that represents the Nas of this time, because this is another resurgence. And I think that Nas, the person, I think he's in a lot of weird places. And I think like this underdog Nas, I think some of that plays into his relationship with Khalees. And I think that, like, you know, the divorce is very ugly and public and all that stuff. So I think that there are people who either like love Nas and want him to be happy because they feel like it, they feel like a connection with him as a person. And then of course there are people who are like, you know, stop dragging the mother, your child on the bus. Why are you still talking about her? Yada, yada, yada. Okay. So you make cases for both of those. But this is like, okay, this is who Nas is right now. Yeah. If I'm to play a Nas record in 2019, I'm not going to play anything off of Nasir. But because Nas is still active, and based off of Lost Tapes too, because I feel like No Bad Energy and Adult Film, you said those were recorded around the Swiss Beats era, like just last year. So Nas is still rapping, and to me, Nas is still rapping at a very high level. And Echo was just Echo was just amazing to me. It was like I heard that record and I was like happy for him. Like, okay, you. I think somewhere inside, and I think to your point when you talked about he's always keeping a record for the streets, Nas got a taste of that commercial success, and I think he always like kind of wanted it, but either he wasn't willing to make the music that would do it, or he knew that his fans are always going to laud him. They're like, he kind of like tripped and fell into this weird career where he has to please all these different types of people, and that's not necessarily who he is. So this is like the I've come to a resolve. This is who I am in 2019. And here's a representation of that. And it goes Echo. So to me, it says he's still active and he's still great. I think that needs to be represented on a definitive 15 list of Nas.
I get it.
Yeah. Cool.
All right.
I'm glad you get it.
Can we start dipping into these honorable mentions?
Please. I'm ready to nerd out.
Esco, Let's Go.
Did Green Lantern do that?
DJ Khalil.
DJ Khalil. Okay. Man. Fire. That's Untitled, right?
Untitled Era, yeah. How does that matter? Okay. Speaking of Untitled Era, Queens Get the Money.
I hear that. I hear Jay Electronica.
I know.
He absolutely wrote that verse. You can't tell me any different.
I almost literally, I mean, because if you're thinking like late Nas era where he's just like killing it.
Yeah.
I was trying to find like a representative of that, but I knocked down the honorable mention because I was like, man, did Jay Elect write this?
He wrote it. I know you can tell.
I know.
He wrote it. Yeah, you can tell. He wrote it. And even that's a Jay Elect track. Well, Jay Elect, he produced that, right?
Yeah. What the audience can't see is me doing produced with air quotes, because like it's a piano loop. But like Jay Elect's not really a producer.
Right. So he was just listening to something abstract and found a piece and was like, oh, I can rap over this and looped it. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Can we talk about... Okay, so let me ask you this. Like, do you have like a favorite unreleased or not released until much later, whatever, like Nas song? Because there's one for me that used to be like the White Whale. And then when it finally came out, I was like, oh my God.
I have a couple.
Okay.
I have Good Morning.
Oh, yeah. That's great.
Good Morning is fire.
On my list, yeah.
I got Fetus.
Yeah, man. Fetus. Fetus is great.
Fetus is really, really dope. I've got Life is Like a Dice Game.
Okay. It's fine.
I've got the 45-second snippet of The Scientist.
The Scientist?
Yeah, Just Blaze.
Oh, right.
It's loud.
You want to hear it? Like the guy with the NPC in the car this week on social media?
Oh, my God.
I love it because it's like, yeah, we could make beats, but we all realize that it's too much. But there's an audience for it. I think that's the real lesson.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's for the people. What I said, like, if you're an artist or if you're a person who doesn't listen to that normally, or if you do, you go back and you listen to, like, old Dipset stuff or old Rockefeller stuff, and then you hear somebody do that today, you get excited. But when you regularly listen to music, like, with samples and stuff in it, you're just like, oh, yeah, that's cool. You just, it's a tolerance for it. All right, hold on. Let me play you The Scientist.
I've heard it's been a long time, but I forgot what it sounds like.
Is a man who has learned how to think, at least about scientific matters. That's why he can do so many amazing things.
A scientist. It's but such a scientist nice
isn't supposed to believe anything much unless it's supported by evidence.
We gotta do a song. We gotta do a song that you never heard before.
Nas doesn't know how to rap on that. He doesn't know how to get it. He's not catching it. It's too slow for him.
Ooh.
It is. Like he's.
Wow. Good observation.
That flow is not there.
Yeah.
He's not on it. So that's, I could just tell you that era, Just Blaze. Like it's etched into my brain, right? Because that is the kind of beat that you would hear when I used to go down to New York and play beat battles. That's a beat battle beat.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is coming. That's Come and Get Me. Not Come and Get Me. Oh God, I can't. What's the Saigon J record?
Oh, Come On Baby.
Come On Baby. It's that era. Yeah. It's that era.
Yeah.
It's of the same thing. I get it.
Well, yeah, that's from a Just Blaze with Shea 45. That's 2011, I think.
Yeah, but that actual.
That's the same night Exhibit C premiered.
Right, but that Just Blaze beat 100% is like 2007, 2008, maybe 2009 at the latest. Like that's a certain era. I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have blown my mind in 2007.
Yeah, I mean, in 2011 it did, but not now. But yeah, I still want to hear a full version though. What else do I have? A Nas song that nobody talks about.
Yeah, what do you got?
Nas and 50 Cent, who I rep with.
Hmm.
That beat is crazy. I think that was on Stadium Series Part 1. It's Clue Tape. People talk about projects too hot.
Yeah.
Nas was doing the 50 Cent. Nah, who I rep with is crazy. I said On The Real earlier.
Yep.
Yep, that's it. What you got?
How does Nas record Never Too Late?
Ooh.
And not put that on a project? That song is ridiculous. And thanks... to the internet, and thanks to Alchemist, you can listen to that on streaming services on The Cutting Room Floor 3.
Yes.
Perfect CD quality. It is freaking amazing.
Yes.
It's way too short. Nas is just, it's beautiful. The beat is unreal.
There's a full version of that. It's got the Bravehearts on it.
Yeah.
Because it's on a mixtape.
Yeah.
But it's not mixed and, who wants to hear the Bravehearts?
So some stuff that also missed my I'm gonna go down on this ship. I'm fine with it. I love A Message to the Feds. I'm the only person who loves that song, and that's fine.
You are.
That song is great.
Okay.
When I was researching for the show, I always like to Google what like Complex and everybody else puts for their like top whatever songs for an artist because I want to make sure that I'm not just like instinctively picking. Like, I'm not trying to go against type all the time, but I want to make sure that I'm not just... I don't want people to, like, listen to us and think, they just copied Complex. You know what I mean? I don't want that to happen. So I always go and listen to it. And if people pick a song in a top whatever Nas from that era, they never pick A Message to the Feds. I'll tell you that much.
Mm.
I love that song.
Right.
Speaking of Alchemist, though, Book of Rhymes, No Ideas Original.
Oh my God. How's that not on my list? Absolutely.
I got some songs I want to talk about on our Patreon exclusive show, but I'll mention them quickly. Hardest Thing to Do is Stay Alive is ridiculous.
Yep.
And Amongst Kings.
Yep. We'll get there.
I know.
We'll get there. It's for our Patreon listeners, but we'll get
there. Okay, so let's go. How do you feel about Second Coming?
Oh, fire.
Oh my God.
Fire. Amazing.
You want to talk about Nas's flow?
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. Self-Conscious with Prodigy.
Yep.
Crazy.
It's a favorite of yours. Yep.
Crazy. Firm, La Familia. Didn't appear on the album from before the album. It's a great song.
Yeah, stupid for that. Well, I get why it doesn't, because that's way too dark and deep for that Firm album, what it ended up becoming.
Right.
But that record's crazy.
Trying to think if there's anything else that we haven't really talked about that I wanted to get at.
I really liked Rise and Fall, but we'll talk about that on the Patreon episode. Yep. That was dope.
Papa Was a Player?
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah.
It's good.
Solid. Yo, people are yelling at us right now.
Talking New York?
I was never a big fan of Talking New York.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nah. Do you remember the other Lauryn Hill song that leaked? It Wasn't You?
No, I don't think
and
so.
Lauryn was like super off key. It was really, really, like really bad. Oh, yeah. No. I always liked One on One from the Street Fighter soundtrack.
Mm.
Just because I like that sample.
Yeah.
Better used by A-Marie. I'm sorry, not A-Marie, TJ Moses. Let me see if there's any other. Project Windows is fire. Both versions. Original in the Ronald Isley remix. Yeah. I think we're okay.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about Nas?
This is one of my favorite artists ever. This was really, really fun to do. And I need to scour the internet and find every single unreleased Nas song I can find before it goes away. Because I feel like it'll go away.
Yeah. Oh, man. Good Morning is great.
Mm-hmm. I'm
trying to think what else we haven't mentioned.
What era Nas is that?
That's like 2004? Yeah, it's 2004.
So is that Streets Disciple?
Streets Disciple.
Okay. The original version of Streets Disciple is dope.
What's different about that?
They couldn't clear the sample. It's the same sample as Kool G Rap on the Run?
Oh, that makes sense.
I think was that Billy Joel?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, they couldn't clear that.
Yeah, Untitled had a lot of like stuff that coulda, shoulda been on there. Okay. Well, I think that's it for this week's regular episode. Again, we're going to have a Patreon exclusive. If you aren't signed up for it yet, please, if you're interested, head over to patreon.com/CRS podcast. Until then, Armand, you got anything you want to plug?
Nope. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, everybody.